Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast with Joshua Latimer, where we discuss business, life, family, faith, struggle, fire, pain, and ultimately winning.
It's time to take massive action.
Look, I can't work harder on your life or business than you do.
It's ultimately all on you.
You know, God created all the food the birds would ever need, but he doesn't put it in their nest. You've got to go get it.
10 out of 10 people die. So how about doing something today that actually matters while you still can?
Hey, everybody, Josh here. Welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast. I'm excited to talk to you guys. Today, we're rounding out the year. Like, can you believe that this year is almost over? I mean, I really can't. It's like I get in these grooves. I get in these ruts, momentum, mountaintops, valleys. Like, you mix it all together, and then bam, the year's over. I know for me, it flew by. It's unbelievable. And if you're an entrepreneur like me, you probably struggle with living in the future, meaning the only thing you can see is what the next thing to do is and what the next mountaintop to conquer is. And I completely relate to that. Sometimes it's good for us to stop and pat ourselves on the back for maybe what we've accomplished this year. Or maybe it's not everything you hoped and dreamed, but maybe you put some things in place that really helped you. Maybe you made some key hires. Maybe you built your first system. I don't know. Maybe you closed a commercial account or you did something. I bet most of you have done something this year that you should be proud of yourself for. And you know what? Round of applause for you for doing that. And don't be shy about patting yourself on the back. It's easy to get burnt out if you don't celebrate the wins. What I want to talk to you about today is a question that was posed to me for a little YouTube channel. This guy that has this YouTube channel was like, "Hey, Josh, I got asked this question, and I'm wondering if you'll answer it, and I'll put it on my YouTube channel." And the question was, what percentage of my revenue or my budget should I dedicate to marketing? Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. To answer this question properly, I would need to talk to the person and ask them how big their business is now. What do they want? What's their desired outcome? What's the mountaintop they're trying to reach eventually? And when are they trying to reach it by? And how much, you know, what's your personal financial situation like? And a million other questions. But in general, speaking to companies who maybe are newer or smaller or have been stuck for a long time, here's the answer to that question. It's very simple. The answer to how much you should dedicate to marketing is as much as possible. Now, the only way that that answer is not applicable to you is if you have already arrived, you're perfectly content, and your business is everything you've hoped and dreamed it would ever be, then maybe that doesn't apply to you. But I'm guessing, going out on a limb here, that if you're listening to podcasts like this, you are still wanting more. You want either a bigger business or a more profitable business or a more automated or systemized business or some different kind of business than what you have now. And if that's the case, the answer is as much as possible. This question drives me nuts because I live in two worlds. And over the last couple of years since I started this show, I've done a lot of different new things and I've met so many people and I've had maybe 500 plus or up. I'm probably approaching 1,000 individual phone calls. I don't think I'm at 1,000, but I bet I'm over 500 with you, with small business owners, like helping you guys and unpacking things. And what's funny is me as a person trying to help, I learn so much talking to real small businesses in multiple industries about what's going on. And the funny thing is, and this is true for myself and for you, is that sometimes when I talk to people, it takes mere minutes for me to identify the problem. Just moments of talking with them, and it's like, boom, it's so clear to me what the issue is. But when I look at my own business, it's not clear. Like, it gets blurry and murky. Isn't that weird? It's super weird. One of the best ways you can learn is by teaching. And no matter what size your business is, there's probably someone, quote unquote, lower than you in terms of accomplishment in the business. You should find someone and mentor them and help them because it's going to force you to raise your game up. So anyway, the reason I say that, because I've had all these conversations, is that I identify patterns. One of the things I developed over the last couple of years is this concept that I call the five stages of service business growth. And stage one is the person that's on the ladder. You're in the field. You're the person producing the end deliverable, which is a clean window or a clean carpet or a mowed lawn or a landscaping wall that's put in place or whatever, fill in the blank for your service. It's all the same. If you're the person doing the work, you're in stage one. In stage two, that means that most of your time, even if it's only barely most of your time, is spent in the office. And in the office, that can mean that you're sitting in your truck on your cell phone taking quotes and scheduling jobs and talking to angry customers and happy customers. Like if you're the guy driving in your truck and you're trapped in there for hours per day on the phone, you're in stage two. That's what that means. Stage three is when you're primarily mostly doing sales. And when you're mostly doing sales, it means every day, the majority of your day is spent networking, giving quotes, bids, doing bog on the ground marketing. You're doing like Chamber of Commerce events, B&I meetings. You're meeting property managers. You're stopping into assisted living homes and asking if you can submit a quote. And you're like keeping data organized so you can follow up. Like you become a strategic sales ninja person most of the time. Now, with all first of the three stages, you're doing everything. So it's not like you're just in the office or you're just in the field or you're just doing sales. These are just like generalities. Like you're spending most of your time doing sales, but yeah, you got to hop in the field once in a while, or you have to hop on the phone in the office and put out a fire or deal with something. And then stage four is when you're a general manager, when you're managing a team of people in all of those departments. At the most basic level, your service company has three departments. You have sales, service, and operations. And sales is self-explanatory. Service means the technicians doing the work, cleaning the thing, building the thing, cutting the grass. And then operations are like all the systems managing all that, like your office, your mothership, the way that you schedule jobs, the way you follow up with customers, the way that you do payroll and banking and finance and HR, that can all fall under operations, just at a basic level. But anyway, so during the first three stages of business, you're doing all of these things. It's like a mess, right? So when people say, how much should I spend on marketing? Well, it depends. It really depends because every business is unique. Everybody's personal financial situation is unique. But the general answer is as much as possible. If you want to grow a bigger team that can get you free, if you want to have enough revenue that you can pay qualified, competent people very well to do the work required to make the business successful, then you have to acquire customers. And acquiring customers costs money. Now, when you first start out, you have two resources available to you to accomplish this. Let's say that you're brand new. You have two things you can use to grow the business. Only two. Number one, you have time. Number two, you have money. Now, if you're just starting out, you probably don't have any money or very little money. And it's normal in the beginning to have an abundance of time and a lack of money. And what you have to do is you have to invest yourself. You have to invest your mouth and your feet and your hands into momentum creation. What is momentum creation? It's you shaking hands, kissing babies, doing bids, meeting people, talking, becoming the person in your community, in your market that does the stuff that you do. You need to be the guy or the girl that does the stuff. You need to begin the process of being, oh, that's Bob. That's carpet cleaner Bob. Oh, yeah, that's Joe. He does the lawns. You know, that's Mary. They have a janitorial service. They do whatever. You have to use your time to spin up the initial momentum. Now, after you do this for an extended period of time by being strategic with the way that you manage and use your time, you're going to create momentum in sales and some customers. And then what happens is your time is going to go down because you're doing everything and you have to go clean the thing and cut the thing and build the thing. But guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a little bit more money. Now, as you go through all the first three or four stages of small business growth, it's important that you track and really pay attention to how you're spending your time. When I talk to people on the phone, they're just kind of all over the place. In fact, I have several people I've talked to just in the last month where they're frustrated that their business is only doing a couple hundred thousand a year. And when we really break it down and I look at what they're doing, they're working like 30, 40 hours a week. And you know, the question I have, to be honest, is what the heck are you doing? What are you talking about? You're working 30 or 40 hours a week. How can you be frustrated you're not growing when you're working 30, 40 hours a week? You need to work 89 hours a week as a baseline, not forever,
but for a season, for a period of time to spin up momentum. Then you have money. Now we can finally have the conversation about how to spend that money on marketing. You know, marketing's expensive. You know, we just had our live event in Michigan, and one of the mentors I flew in here was Michael Kaplan, who you've heard me talk about. He's been on the podcast. He's super awesome. And this was the first time I met him in person, and we spent some time together. One of the most unique parts about my time with him was how much money his company spends to acquire a customer. It's outrageous. I'll keep it, you know, private because I don't know if he wants me to share it, but it's a lot. And when I talk to really little companies that are struggling and stuck and they're totally freaking out and they do everything themselves and they're really not living the dream by any stretch, they spend nothing or almost nothing to acquire a customer. And a lot of you know I joined Russell Brunson's Inner Circle because I'm trying to level up my game on like the internet software business side of the world. And one of the things that Russell teaches all the time that is just like really hitting me lately is that whoever can spend the most money to acquire a customer wins. Like, think about that. And it's true. It's absolutely true. And here's why it's true. It's true because of the lifetime value of the relationship. So if you have an extra $1,000 in your bank account and you're horrified on what marketing channel to pick, or you're not sure if you should do it at all, or maybe you'll just take it as an owner distribution and you're going to pay off $1,000 on your credit card or something, like, you need to remember that the lifetime value of every customer you have is massive. It's 8 to 10 times whatever the initial transaction is. So if your average ticket is $400, every time you get a customer, it's worth $4,000. Like, wrap your head around that, because this is truth. This is how you scale to millions. This is how you build huge companies. And you can only have the automated, systemized business with a team so that you can go on vacation for a month and all the stuff I talk about. You can only have that if you're doing, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands in revenue, at least up to millions plus. Like, you have to have enough revenue to support all the mouths that need to be fed inside of your organization. So, you know, keep that in mind, and it costs money to acquire customers. So if you're going to spend, you know, $100 to acquire a customer, is that a lot? I don't know. You know, what's your annual average value of a client? Like, if you're in the lawn mowing business, your average ticket might only be $40, but your annual average value of a client might be $1,500, depending on how many cuts you get or whatever. How many dollars would you give me today if I gave you a brand new shiny customer that paid you $1,500 a year indefinitely, as long as you rocked their socks off and impressed them and were amazing at, you know, delivering your service? Like, what would the value be? Well, I'll tell you a secret. The really big companies, they'll give away the entire value of that first year. I'm not saying you should do that, because if your company's really little, you kind of can't. Like, you can't do that yet. But the point I'm making is you should not be scared to acquire customers as long as you have some basic systems in place to actually do a good job for them and actually follow up with them. Because guess what? They're going to keep hiring you because you're awesome and they think you're awesome and they love you. So why are we so scared to scale and to spend money? It's crazy. Chris Lambertini's was one of the original podcast interviews I did a couple years ago when I started the Quick Talk podcast. And one of the things we talked about in that episode, you can go back and listen to it, is how he paid himself $500 a week when his company was doing like $70,000 a month. A lot of you guys make $10,000 a month in your business that you pay yourself $6,000 or $7,000 a month of it. And you're allowed to do that. But if you want something more, if you don't want to be a slave, if you want to build something special, if you want to build something sellable, if you want to have an organization that can, you know, build a team and like middle managers and have people you can influence and you can change employees' lives and all that stuff, if you want that, you can't take 60% of the revenue out and put it in your pocket. So the answer to the original question, which is how much should I spend on marketing, is you need to pay yourself as little as possible for as long as possible, and you need to spend as much as possible to acquire as many customers as possible. And I know that doesn't cover every base, it doesn't answer every unique, nuanced situation, but there's truth in that answer. And hopefully that's providing value to you, because you need to acquire customers. It costs money to acquire customers. Don't be scared to experiment and try things to build a lever for yourself to acquire customers, just freaking go for it. Go for it. And if you're taking too much money out of the business, cut it back. Talk to your wife. Talk to your husband. Figure out, where can we live? Like, what are we willing to scale back to for a little while so that later we can have what we want? Dave Ramsey says a really powerful quote. He says, if you're willing to live like no one else today, later you can live like no one else. That's really what this is all about. And the highest achievers that I've been able to meet and become friends with, a lot of them, they spent massive amounts of money on scale, on sales, on growing their business. And now they have mega huge organizations where they're completely free from them. And I think that's pretty amazing. So I hope that added value to you. Also, if you're a Send Gym customer, you probably got an email from us probably this week talking about the new Send Gym Certified Partners Program 2.0. We're like freaking out excited about it. It's one of the many different channels of growth that we're going to use to grow Send Gym and Radius Bomb next year. And it's a massive opportunity for you. So if you're interested in that, make sure that you watch the video, because what we're basically offering you, you have to be a customer to do this, is you're going to get a single shareable link that's unique to you. You can put it on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you want, and it will point people towards the Radius Bomb webinar that, you know, sells our product. It converts at a super high level. It's proven. It's tested. It's been killing it all year for us. You do not sell our stuff. You do not, you know, pitch our stuff. You don't become some cheesy, you know, multi-level marketing. It's not none of that. You simply share a link and tell people, hey, here's a really powerful tool that can help you grow your sales and marketing, whatever. Click this link and check it out. Our webinar sells it for you, and you get paid residual monthly commissions on it at a high level, and there's a whole bunch more stuff included. But don't delay and wait to check it out, because there's a massive discount on getting involved in the Certified Partners Program. We have a lot of people coming in. We're so excited, and that's it. So I will talk to you guys later. Take care. God bless.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.